The 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we read of the account of the Passover and of Christ with the disciples, of him taking bread and blessing it. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We read how he speaks of that which is to come in terms of the smiting of the shepherd, and also his warning unto Peter that he would deny him thrice before the cock crows that night. And Peter, with the other disciples, denies this. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And all the other disciples said the same. And then in verse 36 we read this. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let this cup pass from me. We see in this passage the great travail, the great sorrow that comes upon Christ as the heaviness, the gravity, the sorrow, the torment of what is to come when he offers himself at the cross for sinners comes upon him. The passage is, of course, well known as that which precedes the crucifixion of Christ. And we know the account and what came to pass. But there's more in this passage than simply the fact that it precedes and leads up to the final hour. There is, as throughout the scriptures, as throughout the gospels, and as indeed throughout this particular chapter, there is in here much that depicts the cross itself. Repeatedly, the gospels lead us in type and figure, in picture, in imagery, repeatedly to see what Christ would do, what he would do upon the cross, what he would do in those 3 days when he was crucified, he died, when he was laid in the grave and buried, and when he rose again victorious with his people, and what he would do in those 3 hours in the darkness upon the cross as he bore the sins of his people, as he was made sin, as the skies darkened, as the light of the sun was taken away, as the wrath of God came down as fires upon him. What he would do in the darkness, what he would do in the night, what he would do, as it were, when his people slept, as he suffered and died on their behalf, in their place, taking the judgment which was theirs, drinking the cup of God's wrath which they deserved to drink. O child of God, believer, here we see what Christ drank for you, that you deserved to drink. In verse 17 we read, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." Simple words, but even in that one sentence, there's a whole weight of truth. My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Christ would enter in with his disciples, his people, into a house and keep the Passover. This is a picture of the cross. When Christ was hung upon the cross, he kept the Passover in the house of God with his disciples, as the avenging angel came down with judgment, destroying all except where there was blood daubed over the lintel of the door. We're taken back to that time in Exodus when the Hebrews were in their houses, having slain the Passover lamb and having daubed its blood on their door and having eaten all of that lamb, that the angel of death that came and judged the Egyptians, that came and judged the sin of men, should pass them by. A picture of what would happen at the cross. And here Christ comes to the city with his disciples and says, "My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." We read on of how Christ kept the physical Passover with the disciples. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So here again, in the Passover, he shows what he will do. He says, "This is my body. Take, eat." He says, "This is my blood. Takes the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament. He was about to shed his blood in death. He was about to give his body as an offering and a sacrifice for sin. He was about to be slain as the Passover lamb on behalf of his people. He was about to keep the Passover in the house with his disciples. He was about to die. He was about to drink the cup of God's wrath. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. They were to drink as a picture of that cup that he was to drink that they could not drink. As a memory, a reminder, a memorial of what he would drink for them in drinking the wrath of God against their sins. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Following this, Peter is warned that that night, he would deny Christ thrice. Three times. Christ was about to enter 3 days in which he would be slain, buried, and rise again. At the cross, he would enter into 3 hours of darkness as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost wrought salvation on the part of sinners. And that night, Peter, the disciple for whom Christ would suffer, as with all others, disciples, denied him thrice. So complete was the denial. So total was the depravity in the sin of man. So total was the depravity of Christ's disciples that it had to be displayed at that very time, in order to see and to demonstrate just what Christ was doing for such a people. So vividly these things are contrasted. His disciples, not just those around who had rejected him, who had wandered off, but his disciples who proclaimed to love him, who said they'd never leave him, would deny him. They would deny him. When the shepherd was smitten, the sheep would be scattered. When Christ suffered, the disciples slept. When Christ entered the travail and torments of Gethsemane, none of them could keep their eyes open. Because so great is the sin in man, so great was the sin in Peter, so great was the sin in all these disciples and all of Christ's disciples throughout all time, even you and I if we believe. So great is the sin in man that we cannot prevent ourselves from sinning. And we cannot prevent ourselves from denying Christ, except he change our heart, except he take our sin away, except he make us new, except he wash us in his blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And yet then at the end of the chapter, we read, the damsel comes to Peter, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now what happened there to Peter could have happened to any of the disciples, and any disciple of Christ, any believer, you and I included. When he warns us of what we are, we say, we will never be offended of thee. We love thee. This is a man who'd walked with Christ, who'd lived with Christ, who'd heard his words, who'd promised so many things. He thought he would stand. He thought he'd be able to stand at that hour. He thought he'd never deny Christ. And yet, put into the right circumstance, he crumbled because he couldn't help himself. Such was the sin in him. Such was the depravity. So total was the fall of man exhibited in Peter and in all the disciples that despite their affirmation that they would not deny Christ, likewise also said all the disciples, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Despite all that he said and all that they said, such was the depravity in his heart that in that circumstance he could not stop himself saying of Christ, I do not know the man. And the cock crew, and he went out and wept bitterly. And just as he did three times regarding that Saviour, who would spend 3 days saving his soul and 3 hours in the darkness bearing his sin and the wrath of God against it. Just as it was with Peter then, so when Christ was at Gethsemane and he told the disciples to sit and to watch, they all slept. They all slept. The depravity of sin in Peter meant that despite all his best intention, despite the fact that the Spirit was willing, his flesh was weak, and he could not stop himself denying Christ. He could not stop those words coming forth from his lips, I do not know the man. And likewise, such was the depravity within all these men that when Christ at Gethsemane prayed unto his Father and knew that the hour was approaching when he would be betrayed, when he needed them, they all slept. They couldn't help themselves. They slept. And Christ prayed. And he prayed again. And he prayed the third time. And they slept throughout. He had said unto them, sit ye here. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. And in the darkness, in the night when he prayed, when he was with his Father, when he cried unto his Father, as he was sorrowful, as his heart was heavy, as he travailed in prayer, as Christ by faith threw himself upon his Father in that darkness of the night, they all slept. They all slept. And in this account of Gethsemane, again, like the Passover, we see a picture of the cross itself and the hours in the darkness at the cross. At the cross, they all slept. At the cross, Christ could but cry out in faith unto his Father, fall upon his Father, as all men deserted him. And yet, at the cross, it was the Father's will that Christ took, that he should drink that cup. Gethsemane. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And yet they slept. What follows are three prayers. Three prayers of faith. Three prayers of trust. And three prayers of submission unto the will of God. Three prayers which point to the triune God. 3 hours upon the cross. And 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection. The travail, the suffering of Christ, leading to the day of resurrection. 3 prayers. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. What do we know of this sorrow? What do you know of this sorrow? You may read of it. You may hear of it. You may know that Christ felt it as a fact. But what do you know of it? The sorrow he felt was because of the sins of his people. The sins that he would bear. The sins for which he would suffer. The estrangement from his Father that he would endure. The cup that he must drink. The smiting of the shepherd at his Father's hand that he would feel, though he'd always been one with him. Though he'd always loved him. That he'd never done any wrong. He'd never taken one step away from his Father. He'd never gone against the Father's will. And yet in this hour, as he approached the hour upon the cross, at the cross, he must feel the Father's wrath as though he is the greatest sinner of all. Oh, what sorrow and travail he passed through. But what do you know of it? What do you know of it even regarding your sin? He felt this because of the sins of his people. But O sinner, O child of God, how sorrowful have you ever been over your sin? Do you treat it as a light thing? Every day we sin. Even as believers, every day we sin. But do you treat it lightly? Don't you know what the Son of God felt and suffered because of the sin? Don't you know something of what he felt and suffered because of the sin? Well, in this chapter, you're given a glimpse. You're given a glimpse. He saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And they sat and they slept. And he suffered. And he prayed by faith unto his Father regarding that cup that he must drink. Later in Matthew 27, when Christ was taken and taken to the cross and nailed to the cross and crucified, we read of the people there that they sat down and watched. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They sat down and they watched as he suffered upon a cross. 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the darkness. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And sitting down, they watched him there. In Gethsemane, he instructs the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." You cannot enter in to what Christ must endure. You can know of it. You can sit and behold. But as they sat, and as he said, "Tarry ye here and watch with me," they slept. Such is sin within us that we cannot even look. We know the words, we know the account, but sin would shut our eyes, sin would shut our ears, sin would take away our understanding, and sin would cause us to sleep and not see one thing of that which matters most to our souls. Of anything that we might behold in time and history, of any event that we should be aware of, that we should be alert to, that we should be in need of, that we should do everything we can to learn about and to behold and to understand something of, it's these hours. This account in Gethsemane, those hours upon the cross, if there's anything that we should be able to see, give me some sight of the Lamb of God. Give me some understanding of what he endured for sinners. What he endured for me, if I'm his. If there's anything that we should see, it's this. And yet such is sin, we sleep. The disciples slept. They slept. They could not help it. They slept. "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Now see what happens in Gethsemane. In these three prayers, in this short account, as the disciples slept, as Christ travailed and was sorrowful, he prays, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Now what is prayer? Prayer is to come before the Father and to commune with God the Father and to cry out unto God the Father. It's an act of faith. And here Christ is throughout this account in Gethsemane praying unto the Father. Man slept. The disciples slept. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, you sleep, you're dead. Without faith, you can see nothing. Without faith, you're as a dead man. But Christ prayed. He was with God. He was with his Father. He cried out unto him. And he cried out, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He cries out. Free prayers we see here. Free prayers of faith. Free prayers of trusting God. Free prayers of total submission to the will of God, even though it meant the death of God's Son in the place of sinners. The price that Christ had to pay here was greater than any price, greater than anything. The suffering which he had to endure is incomprehensible. And yet throughout it he prays. His faith holds strong. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Throughout this account in Gethsemane, the drinking of the cup is the theme. Each prayer is to do with the cup he must drink. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Secondly, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The cup. Let this cup pass from me, he cries, but continues with, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Oh, the faith we see here. He knew what the cup would do unto him. He knew the horror of drinking that cup. He knew what the wrath of God was. He knew the impact that the righteousness of God would have when it meets with the sin of mankind. For that's the cup. It's the pure, perfect, glorious light and righteousness of God meeting the darkness and sin and depravity of man. And when that glowing righteousness comes upon the darkness and depravity of man's sin, it burns it. It sears it. It destroys it. It judges it. That's the cup that Christ drank. He bore the sins of his people. He was made sin in their stead. And he drank this cup, which judged it with fire. And he knew what it would do to him. He knew what it would feel like. He knew the horrors that he would endure. He knew the sorrow. He knew the forsaken state into which he would be plunged. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew the darkness which he must endure. He who was light, he who was God, he who came from light itself must go into the darkness. The sun must endure. The light of the sun must be taken away. He must drink the cup. Let this cup pass from me, he prays. Nevertheless, thy will be done. This is a glowing example of his faith. If any should question or doubt the faith that Christ displayed, here it is. This is faith in this prayer. This is the faith that took him through the hours of darkness at the cross. This is how he endured it. All the while that he must drink that cup that separated him from his Father, that brought him such sorrow, he could say, thy will be done. And all the while, the disciples slept. Why? Because this is a picture of his death and their death in him. Their death in him. As sinners, they are dead. As sinners, they must die the second death. As sinners, their sin must be judged and their sin must be taken away. As sinners, they must die. So they slept as he endured the wrath of God on their behalf. Until that moment when he said, rise. When he said, rise. We see in this account in Gethsemane, he prays the first time. He finds them sleeping. He prays the second time. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then he says, rise, let us be going. Rise, let us be going. Three prayers, the drinking of the cup, the disciples slept, and at the end, when the travail was over, when the work was done, Christ comes unto them and says, rise, let us be going. Yes, this account in Gethsemane, as we know, precedes the betrayal of Christ, the trial of Christ, and the crucifixion of Christ. It's that which comes to pass before the final hour. And it's that in which we see the onset of the horror of what's to come coming upon Christ in his experience as he sees that cup before him that he must drink. But it's far more than just an account that precedes the death of Christ. It's far more than just an account that tells us that Christ knew the hour was nearly there and knew what he would endure and how sorrowful he was. It's also a depiction of what would happen upon the cross in itself. As with so many of these passages in Scripture, as with the account of the Passover and the Last Supper itself, as with so many things, there's so much more in it. And in the actual account of his prayers in Gethsemane is a picture and a figure of his actual suffering upon the cross. He prays three times. Every prayer is with regard to the cup that he drinks. And throughout each prayer, the disciples slept. Firstly, the first prayer, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prayed. Oh, the faith we see in his prayer. He prayed. Now, when you're brought to times of trial, when you're brought to times of suffering, when things don't go your way, what do? Do you run to your friends for help? Well, Christ's friends were no help. They all slept. Do you run to man for assistance? Well, if Christ had gone to man for assistance here, he'd have found none. Or do you pray? Christ went to the only one who was worth going to the only one he could, to the only one he truly wanted to. He was one with his Father. And yet the one that he prayed unto, the God that he fell upon his face before, was the very God who was bringing this trouble upon him. It's not as if Christ was about to be betrayed into the hands of the Jews and the Romans, and he went to his Father to pray unto him that he would deliver him from them, or he would help him in that circumstance. It's not as though the Father was the one that was looking alongside and could help him on his side whilst man came on the other side. It's not just as though the devil was going to come upon Christ and do all that he could in this hour to destroy him. So he prays to his Father to help him in this battle. But what Christ must suffer would come from his Father's hand. The only way he could deliver his people from their sin was to die in their place. The only way he could save his disciples was to be made what his disciples were, sin, was to bear what they had done, their sins, was to endure what they should suffer, the judgment and wrath of God, was to drink the cup that they should drink. But those sins were laid upon him by his Father in a mysterious transaction. He was made to be them at his Father's command. He bore the wrath of God that his Father's righteousness sent out in judgment against their sins. He drank the cup that the Father ordered him to drink. Let this cup pass from me, he prays. But he knows the Father's will is that he must drink it. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now don't think here that the Son's will was against the Father's. As God, he was God, one with God the Father. And he'd entered into a covenant before the foundation of this world to save his people. And they'd agreed that he would go to this place. And they'd agreed that he would drink this cup. And as God, this is him doing this. But as a man, we see the horror of what he must endure. As a man, he would recoil from it. As a man, you would recoil from it. And as a man, we see the man, Christ Jesus, he is saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If I could avoid it, I would. We see his humanity and we see his faith as a man coming through here. When he prays unto God, praying that he'd be delivered from it, but knowing that he must take it. He knew it wasn't possible. He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he knows it's not possible. If it was passed from him, if he didn't drink it, he wouldn't have saved those disciples. He wouldn't save his people. Oh, child of God, he'd have never have saved you. He knew it wasn't possible to save them except he drank this cup. Yet as a man he prays. And we see the sorrow and the travail of the man Christ Jesus. Yet as the Son of God, he was one with God the Father. And he says in that faith that submits to the Father, that submits to the will of God, that submits to the covenant of God, that agrees with all that God says and does and wills. We see in his faith, he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Thy will be done. The will of God be done. That my love might be set upon these disciples, these men whom I love. That their sins might be taken away, that they might be brought from death unto life. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter had said, I'll never deny thee. All the disciples likewise had said the same. We will not deny thee. We won't be offended at thee. Yet when the hour came, when the temptation came, Peter could not help himself saying, I do not know the man. The spirit was willing, but the flesh in him was so weak, the sin was so great, the darkness so total, that he could not help saying, I do not know the man. And here, as Christ prays, he finds them asleep. Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? No, not 1 hour. They were dead. They slept. They were in the darkness. And you, O sinner, are just the same. To you, the gospel is like something you cannot see. The gospel is like something you cannot see. Every day, as it were, Christ is in Gethsemane. Every day, as it were, Christ prays. And every day he says to this world, watch. And every day the world sleeps. And you, O sinner, every day there is Christ in the gospel. There is the message of his grace being preached from on high. There is the account of Gethsemane broadcast across this world. There is the account of the cross, the grave, the resurrection made known throughout history. Every day it's preached, every day it's made known, every day it sits on the pages of scriptures ready to be read by you. And every day you sleep. Could ye not watch 1 hour? Could you not spend 1 hour reading this? Could you not spend 1 hour listening to this? Could you not listen to one message of the gospel without sleeping through it? No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. Though a multitude of preachers come with this message, though you sit and listen with the outward ear, inwardly you're asleep. And you cannot help it. You sleep, though Christ prays unto the Father. You sleep, though he's drinking the cup of God's wrath. You sleep, though he endures great sorrow to save his people from their sins. Could you not watch 1 hour? No, you sleep. You sleep. You're in darkness. You're dead. You sleep. Only Christ could go to this place. Only Christ could endure this. Man slept. You slept. I slept. He prays the second time. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. You see, the prayer changes. At the commencement, as he's about to go into the darkness, as it were, at the cross, as he's about to have the sins of his people laid upon him, as he's about to be made sin, as the wrath of God is about to come down upon him, as he's about to drink the cup, he cries, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. But here in the second prayer and the third prayer, he's moved on. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He knows he must drink it. And here he is, as it were, in figure, drinking it. Thy will be done. He drinks, and he drinks, and he drinks, and he dies. And he suffers. And the disciples sleep. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Are your eyes heavy? Are your ears heavy? Are you weary of hearing? Are you thinking of all that you might do in this world and run out to do? When a damsel comes your way and says, were you there in the meeting? Don't you go to the meeting? Don't you go to church? Don't you read the scriptures? When you're in the world and you're confronted and you know that you may suffer for identifying with the people of God, do you say, I don't know them? I don't know Christ. I do not know this man. When you hear the gospel, are you sleeping with him? Are your eyes heavy? The third prayer. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Oh, how his faith endured to the end. Once, twice, thrice. 1 hour in the darkness, 2 hours in the darkness, 3 hours in the darkness. He prayed and he drank and he suffered and his faith never wavered. He went to the end. He endured to the end. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He drank the cup to the dregs. Thy will be done. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Sleep on now and take your rest. There is in this a change. They'd slept. Their eyes were heavy. They were dead. But when Christ had endured on their behalf, there was a rest prepared for them. A deliverance from that sleep caused by sin. And a rest that they would enter into. A deliverance from sin and its consequence. There is that prepared for them. He travailed while they were asleep. But now his travail's at an end. And you can sleep peacefully. For now we are about to rise. He, as it were, had done his work upon the cross. Then he and they went into the grave and slept together a while. They rested. They rested in the grave. Christ and his disciples together. The work was done. Salvation was wrought. The cup had been drunk. The wrath of God had been quenched. Satisfaction had been made. Righteousness of God had been brought in by faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ for his people. His prayers had been answered. And then on the third day he and they would come forth rising. Rise, let us be going. Rise, let us be going. The work is done. Now in the historical account, he's about to enter into the reality. He's about to go to the cross. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. But in the figure of that account, which is preceded, in the figure that we see here in Gethsemane, the work is done. Take your rest, it's over. Now, having rested, rise. Let us be going. Only once the travail is over can this be said. Only once the cup has been drunk could this be said. Only when the darkness was past could this be said. But now at the end, he says, with the rising of the sun, as he gets up to go forth, as the Son of God comes forth and his disciples with him, rise, let us be going. Now you, O sinner, who've heard the gospel but slept, have you heard the voice of Christ saying unto you, who suffered for sinners like you, have you heard his voice in the gospel saying unto you, rise. Rise up out of your death. Rise up out of the darkness. Rise up out of the night. Rise up out of your denial. Rise up out of your sleep. Rise up out of your sin. Rise up, my disciple, my child, my friend. Rise up and come forth. Let us be going. Rise up by faith. Rise up in righteousness. Rise up in new life. Rise up in the light and let us be going. Let us leave this place. Let us leave this world of sin. Let us go unto the Father. Rise, let us be going. Has he said that to you? Have you heard him? Have you risen from your sleep? Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Rise, let us be going.